depending upon the help of God, I would direct you to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses 19 to 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with our true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. The 10th and the 9th and 10th chapters of Hebrews contain the very quintessence of salvation. Oh, but to look at it. And look at the text, and to look at myself, it seems as though I have no right to speak about it. But then, it's written for sinners. The whole of the sacred word of God is written for nobody else but sinners. And this chapter shows to us the weakness of the law sacrifices. They were not required. They could do nothing that is saving. They could never forgive sin. Every year sin was remembered. Oh, friends, have you a case of wanting something different from that? And how the blessed Redeemer does shine. And I had a thought of the love. That we read, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but he wouldn't give it up. And that the Lord owes us nothing. He owes us nothing. If those burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, he had no pleasure, they could not take away sins, that wasn't the end. He would have been just if he had said, well then, I will have no more to do with the human race. I have angels in heaven, glorious angels, I'll be satisfied with angels. Those rebellious sinners. No. And that is put into that word to the Corinthians. That nothing shall separate from the love of God, not angels. Perhaps we might have wondered what that meant. There were other things, the world, the death, things present, things to come, nor angels. And to my mind, that is just what that means. That the election of the Father, of his dear people, and the love of his Son to them to whom they were given was such that instead of doing away with and destroying and condemning the whole human race, there was a people whom he had chosen for himself. And the Son agreed in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin. There was had no pleasure then, tremendous then. It was then he said it. And that could not in the love and covenant of God be the conclusion. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin there was had no pleasure. And if that was the conclusion, then the whole human race would have been condemned. And what glory would have redounded to God? But here the response of the Son, I'll read those two together, to me is very blessed, is the love of the Lord Jesus in compliance with the love of the Divine Father in election. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo I come, lo I come. Oh, what different sacrifices, what a different work. That the eternal, glorious, infinite God the Son should for sinners, when every other means were rejected as useless, then said I, lo I come. Blessed people for whom he said this, and he knew those that were his. He loved them. I wonder if he looked upon some of us here. All those sacrifices are no good at all. Lo I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. There's the love of the Father and the love of the Son and the love of the Eternal Spirit is to take those very things that the Lord Jesus had in his fullness, and the work, the complete work of which he was the author in salvation, and work that work in the hearts of his people and make them fit, who would have fitted themselves for hell, fit for heaven, and he lives to take them safely there. Having therefore, brethren, a boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. It seems too good. But then you see that little word therefore in the 19th verse. Having therefore, there's a reason for it. There's a ground of boldness. And that, the therefore, is what we have referred to, the coming of the Lord Jesus to do the will of God. Having therefore, brethren, a boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus does not only intend that fluid that flowed from his sacred side. The blood of Jesus is his infinite virtue, the whole of his person, and the efficacy and all sufficiency of the work that he did. It is virtue. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He's not an outer court worshipper. He's to enter right into the holiest. And you see that in the case of Job. He said, I would come even unto his seat. That is at the throne of grace. I would seek unto God. Unto God would I commit my cause. And you won't be content to stand afar off. You won't be content with externals, though they may be correct in religion. You won't be content with sound doctrines, although we must have sound doctrines and will have them if the Holy Ghost is our teacher. What will you want? Your want and need, and if you're the Lord, you will receive Himself, in whom is the fullness of salvation, and everything that constitutes salvation, and a finished work that is salvation, and a work that the Holy Ghost will work in His people. Is the work and the merit of it wrought out in His people that He wrought out when He condescended to take human nature? He couldn't have worked it out without human nature. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Have you ever felt as a poor sinner with nothing but sin in you, nothing but death? And yet has there been wrought that in you at times? Oh, that you could possess me. Oh, that He would fill your heart. Oh, that His precious blood would blot out your sins. Oh, that you could really partake of Him, ever part of Him, be one with Him, complete in Him, and accepted in Him. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. There's a way there. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh. Now, and this living way is exactly that, as in all simplicity we have in the Gospel. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have to look into ourselves to find that which can only be found in Him. By a new and living way. The old way was the dead way. Dead beasts. It was dead because it could do nothing. It aggravated the case. there were solemn medleys for those that are still under the law. The Rome is, they depend upon that which can never take away your sins. Every solemn service it must be. If we had special annual service to remember sins, but all the blessedness of this, thy sins, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin, it's finished. There are no sacrifices now. There are no priests. It's the ignorance of priests. I wonder when they read that chapter what they think of themselves. The priesthood had finished. The Lord Jesus was the way. He was the way in himself. He went, he consecrated it by walking through it, by fulfilling every item of the law and satisfying the holiness of God. By a new and living way, not the old and dead way, but a living way, a living Christ. And the way came, he made a way. A body hast thou prepared me. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And this, of course, was his humanity. God is a spirit, but he condescended to be made flesh. But he did not cease to be what he was. He didn't lessen the glory of his divine person by partaking of human nature. Didn't lessen anything. And what a glorious high priest he is. In the fourth chapter of this epistle, we see that that is a reason of boldness. Seeing then, we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched for the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, all the importance of these many therefore, there's a reason for it, there's a way made for it, which gives his people right. Why, my friends, perhaps you would be astonished if I should say to you that you'll have a right to heaven. You have a right to go to heaven. And it's in this chapter. The Lord had satisfied the law. He'd honored his father and every one of the sins of every one of his people were imputed unto him, and he has forgotten them. Thy sins and thine iniquities will I remember no more. And he's a great high priest in heaven now, having finished the work that his father gave him to do. And he had to do it in human nature. But oh, I cannot help what I once wouldn't try to help repeating. One of the greatest doctrines in the scripture is the incarnation of God's dear Son. Real humanity. His virgin birth is a foundation which nothing can shake. And that he should come so that sinners can have union with him and partake of him and become related to him. Oh, the mystery and mercy of it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us. Oh, that is a sacred expression. He's a living way which he hath consecrated for us. He's walked it. He's cast it up. It wasn't there. He is the way. He is the way by doing the will of his Father. He is the way by sin being imputed unto him. He is the way because of God is made unto his people wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. He is the way because he has been made perfect through sufferings. Oh, the mystery of that. He who we cannot express his being. And yet he was made perfect. He who is perfect. Perfect in such a way that we can never express. Yet he was made perfect by the things which he suffered. It wasn't that his person was made perfect, that always was. It isn't that his humanity was made perfect, but his mediation, the work that saved his people was perfect. And that perfection was obtained first by who he was, the Cain. If Gabriel had come, the highest angel, would be nothing whatever, no better than a dead beast. Oh, the glory of Christ. I wish I could speak of it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, the merit of Jesus, the love of the Lord Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated or cast up for us, a holy way. He was consecrating that way at the very beginning, in the manger. And everything he condescended to suffer and become. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, the man. How he delights to call himself the Son of Man until he gets to the 14th chapter of John. You hear nothing then of God, his Father. and his people's father. I go to my God and your God, my Father, your Father. By a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, the work, the duty of a high priest is to offer sacrifices. And he is the only high priest, and he's offered one sacrifice forever. Only one. And by that one sacrifice he has sanctified, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Only one. You read through the fifth chapter to Romans and see how that once is repeated. Once, because everything that he does is eternal. Never needs to do a thing twice. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. Yes, and high priest over the house of God, under this a great high priest, he offered himself, as it is in the 9th chapter, the 14th verse. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Oh, my friends, that was made much to me. Although I feel myself such, I ought not to refer to myself. But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself, not the world and everything that's in it, and this gold that shines in people's eyes, and they're killing one another for it, violence, robbery, armed robbery. Oh, what the world call the best things are nothing but dung, and not a better looking world for use for it. I don't like people changing what look rude words to something better at all. We turn them but dung, that we might win Christ and be found in him. How much more? And my friend, if we're interested in this covenant God, in the blood of the Lord Jesus, we can use these three words for everything. How much more? Where will you look? Look at self. Do we know ourselves? Have we ever seen ourselves without Christ? Oh, the hideous sight, the chief of sinners, wounds, bruises, putrefying sores from head to foot. And that's not just an illustration. We are corrupt. And it will be seen in the grave. Perhaps some of you think that this is a very nauseous thing to speak of, but I'm going to. A corpse that is laid in the grave until it is corrupt is the result of sin. It's not a type. I say again, it's not a type of the corruption of sin. It is. There is sin in its corruption through the fall. In the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die. For that how much more? Yes, look at the grave and the corruption of it. But how much more? Who shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body? How much more then in looking at the worst thing you could see? Look at your trials. Look at everything. Look at the state of the world. But when you come to the gospel, when you come into contact with the Lord Jesus by the Spirit, you can look at anything and see him and say, how much more? Even in your sufferings, if you have fellowship with him in his sufferings, you say, how much more when you survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died? Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. This exhortation, there's many of these lettuces in the Hebrews, and Paul takes himself along with these saints. Let us, on the strength of what has gone before, seeing there's a new and living way to go by, let us draw near with a true heart. Anything but a true heart is a hypocrite. A true heart is one that has the truth in it. The Lord Jesus is the truth. It's a very solemn thing to draw near without a true heart, with a false heart, hypocritical heart. You may pray and deprecate sin with all the language you can, not have a true heart, for your very nature not being changed, and you know very well you're going to do the same sins that you're crying out again. A true heart, oh, the only Lord can give it to us, is a new heart. Is that heart that the psalmist prayed for? Create in me a clean heart, O God. It's the same heart that the Lord promised in one of the minor prophets. I will give them put a new heart within you, and put my spirit within you. To think that this can be done by God, by the Spirit, in people's hearts, individuals. Oh, it's a great thing to be a child of God. Ah, it's an anxious thought, a very anxious thought to me. And if you read such scriptures as these and say to yourself, well, really, it's too strong, it's too high. It's a mistake. I understand it. I know it for myself. But my friends, when you come to it, you look at each point that we have feebly tried to trace out, make a prayer of it. I say, if you haven't got it, if you feel you've never come to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and if you feel that you have not a full assurance of faith, or your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and nor your body's washed with pure water, do you want it? Would you do everything for it, to be made complete in Christ, complete in His holiness, complete in His righteousness, and accepted because He is accepted? Oh, how accepted and acceptable was the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, acceptable to His Father. And to my mind, that was shown in the third chapter of one of the epistles, third chapter of Timothy. My memory's gone. But still, let it come back. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Well, my friends, these deep things of God you must have. And if you feel they're too deep and too high, would you have them if you could? Or would you shut the Bible and say, well, it's beyond me altogether, I've never been reading? Oh, the very essence of heaven is in them. Pray, friends. Pray on each point. Take the Bible to the Lord. I've had to do it. I've taken that 51st Psalm to the Lord and gone through it and asked Him to do everything in that psalm in my soul. Urge your case through all unfitness. Sue it out, spurning doubt. The Holy Ghost, thy witness. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful to that promise. Hold fast our faith. There are many things that would move you from your faith if they could, but if you have the faith of God's elect, nothing can move it. It's one of the graces of the Spirit. It's immovable. You won't want it if you get to heaven. You'll see Him as He is. You will have done with hope when you get to heaven, for you will have got to the object of hope. You will still have love that will is everlasting love. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. And now here comes in the power of unbelief. Oh, it's a mighty power. It's the next powerful thing the kingdom of Satan is the next powerful thing to the kingdom of heaven. But everything in Christ, everything that he has done, all that he is in his person, and all the merit of his coming and what he brought with heaven and has taken it back to heaven to give back to his people, he has received gifts for men. All is greater than the kingdom of the devil. Well, I must leave it. My little strength's gone. But may the Lord, oh, may the Lord lead us in this way. May we find him. Ask, and it shall be given you. It doesn't say what you'd ask for. It's a good thing it doesn't. Or else, perhaps, you would feel that you would never ask for what is intended to be given. But the Lord himself said, if thou shalt ask anything, anything in my name, I will do it.